All I really have for this morning is kind of along the lines with what I shared in Mexico. And it's actually, a lot of it might sound familiar with what's been shared already for the past, I don't know how long. And some of it might be things that I've already shared as well. I'm just kind of, I don't know, it's almost like summarizing in my heart what the Lord's been putting on my heart for a while. It's kind of been summarizing. But if I do have a theme, I think I would call it God's eternal purpose, the mystery. And this is the main diagram that I have here that I've used before. And I'll probably be using this diagram a whole lot. And I know I've covered this like so many times. God the Father, God the Son in increase. God the Father sends, I'm just kind of summarizing some things that you already have heard me share. God the Father sends forth His Word, which is God the Son, God the single seed, Jesus of Nazareth. He comes to the cross, falls into the ground and dies. Then He comes forth in increase. That's the main, the main overall picture that I have for this eternal purpose. And one of the main things that I just really want to emphasize and stress is that this purpose, and I know, I believe I've stressed this before, this purpose does not revolve around man, nor man's condition. It revolves around the Father and His beloved Son, and His beloved Son in increase. And the only reason why I believe that somehow, well, before I do that, see, this purpose, this eternal purpose, was before time. We know that. It was before man. Man has nothing to do with it, and I believe I've shared before that man could not thwart God's purpose. Whether they accept it or reject it, they could not thwart His purpose. Because the Son, it was based on the Father and the Son hath performed this purpose in Himself via the cross, in His death and burial and resurrection. God, what God wanted, the Son hath already performed. Okay? The reason why I think, let me just write this down. The reason why I think, and I believe that somehow we see God as having us in view, like God's purpose was so that man could get out of sin. God's purpose was so that man could have a better life. God's purpose was so that man could ... etc., etc. But the main reason I think that's so, that that many have this understanding, many have this thought, many have this idea, is because this one is a mystery. He's a mystery. He's a mystery to the natural man, the man who's not born again, and he's a mystery to the carnal mind, which one who is born again can have. And I use the dashed deal here with an understanding, and usually this one without understanding is looking this way. His view is what the Lord has already put away. But I've got different verses that I'd like to just show, and just a couple of comments to make regarding that. And I may get out of order a little bit with my notes, but I'll try to get back on track. But so this eternal purpose of God is His risen, glorified Son, His risen, glorified seed. And this is a mystery, as I've just stated before, to the natural man, to the carnal mind. And I want to look at just a couple verses. Excuse me. And we may look at some verses in detail. Don't worry, I just have excerpts out of the notes. It's not all of it. All right. Here's one of the first verses that I want to look at. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Yeah. Now I'll just go ahead and start reading with verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And this is, of course, Paul speaking here. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now, here, yet not the wisdom of this world, of this age. We speak wisdom, but not the wisdom of this age. And I know I've covered this before, the three-age system. Well, here's one age, and here's another age. This is the age of flesh, the body of sin and death. This is the age of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I find that in Romans chapter 7 and 8, towards the end of chapter 7 and towards the beginning of chapter 8. That's where I get that. And the verse is basically the spirit of life in Christ. Who shall deliver me from this age of the flesh? Who shall deliver me from this man? Okay, and I kind of just look at it like that. Going on with that verse. Nor of the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And it's not that... it's not that Paul is trying to hide something. It's that what he is speaking is hidden to that man. And see, I'm just starting with this man first. We're going to go on and see, you know, the one who's born again and on like that. It's hidden. He can't hear it. He can't understand it. It's foolishness to him. Okay? Even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. This is hidden before the world, which he ordained before the world. It has been hidden, and it is hidden to this natural man. Okay? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Excuse me. I do want to just look at just some of those words a little more in detail from this passage that I just read. Another thing that what happens, because this is such a mystery. This is such a mystery to all of us, except the Lord reveal it by His Spirit. We just read that. Except the Lord reveal it by His Spirit. It's what is He revealing? He's revealing His Son. His Son is the mystery. God doesn't have a mystery, you know, like a treasure chest and He opens it. No, His Son is the mystery. His Son is the treasure. But it's a mystery. He is a mystery. Unto all, except the Father reveal it by the Spirit. When this man is here, he doesn't see, he doesn't know, and what is what he understands are things. He doesn't understand Christ. He doesn't understand substance. He understands things. So then he understands a concept of, I'll just use this, righteousness. He knows he's unrighteous. He knows he's not righteous. Versus the substance hidden from him, Christ who is righteousness. He understands, what else? Peace. He knows he doesn't have peace. Okay, or if he's honest, you know, as a liar can be, as honest one can be, you know, in this age, who's not born again. If they're as honest as they can be, yes, I don't have any peace. They understand peace as a thing, as a concept, but apart from the substance. They don't, They can't. It's hidden from them that Christ is peace. The person himself is peace. Okay? The same thing when one who's born again, they're born blind. All who are born again are born blind. And I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about this one. All who are born again are born blind. We're birthed with no sight, but we are birthed with the capacity for sight. See, here, there's a man, and he's dead, right? He's flat out dead. He's dead. He needs life. The need is life, because he's dead. I'm going to go ahead and touch on that right now. This man, and here's another thing that boggles this understanding right here. You know, like I said, this plan, this eternal purpose is a mystery. It's a mystery except the Father reveal him as Christ himself. Except the Father reveal the Son as being that mystery. Okay? All right, here's the Father, here's the beloved Son in increase. This is a done deal, sealed in God the Father. And then we have one who's not born again. And immediately we think, and we say it, they need life. They need life. Because it's true. They do need life. But here's the deal. When the life appears to this one doesn't continue living. When the life appears for this one, it is death unto this one. This one does not continue. And I think that because this is such a mystery, you know, that it can be that is only understood in knowing the person of Christ, that we think, and here's how it goes, we receive life. So then instantly we're in this state right here of, well, now I'm born again. Now I have life. But God, you need to fix this that I see. But I still do this, or I understand this, or this isn't working, or this isn't like Jesus. But see, when this one appears for this man, it's death. It's not life. I may have it written down. No. I know I've got it written down somewhere. With the example of the tree in the garden, it's the same thing. Man is in a fallen state, right? Man in a fallen state. What does the Lord say? Put a sword to the tree of life so that this man cannot eat and continue in this state. He is almost, he's dead and continuing in death. Cut him, you know, don't let him partake of life. This man does not partake of life, lest this man continue. But see, this man continues in our hearts right here. Because why? Because this is a mystery in our hearts. Until the Father shows His Son. Until we see this Son. Until the Father Himself by the Spirit reveals this mystery. Who is Christ Himself? That's it. It's just the revealing of Christ. That's all it is the revealing of Christ. Because unto this man He is death. Alright? This is... and I know I've got it written down right here. This is the death of death. The appearing of this one is the death of death. Death could not die except Christ bring death to death. This man could not die. And I know we've heard it before. I think it's in Genesis where the day you shall eat of it, you shall die. And I've heard J.W. share that sentence came at the cross. That's when the death came, when Christ came, when Christ was crucified. when he was crucified, when the cross came, when Christ came. That was the end of this man, the end of this age. The death of death. I used to, at one point, I started thinking about it. It was like Night of the Living Dead. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those movies. They're pretty gross, pretty funny. But it's the same thing. It's the same concept. This was in a state of perpetual death, and it couldn't die. It couldn't die. Why am I on movies? I have no idea. Pirates of the Caribbean, one of those first movies, I think the first movie that they made, they were under a curse. They couldn't die, and they couldn't live. You know, I remember one of the parts in the movie, the guy had like an apple and he could eat it, but he couldn't taste it. You know, it did no point. It was no good for him to eat it. He couldn't be satisfied. He was in a state of perpetual death with no end to it. There was no end. He couldn't die. Well, greater than that, mankind, apart from Christ, is in that state. They were in that state. They could never receive life. So when this plan is fulfilled by the Father, a result of this plan, because remember, God's plan wasn't centered in this man or getting this man out of this state or improving the condition of this man. His purpose has been centered in His Son always. Always. After God the Father is satisfied with His Son, then a result of this satisfaction is that an effect of this satisfaction is that this man finally is able to come to rest in death, the death of death. This man can now die. Yeah, God will not give that one life. There's no mixture. There's no mixture there. I want to look real quick at some passages that I've covered before with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. This is 1 Kings chapter 18. And I know that I've shared this before, and it wasn't here till recently that I saw the order of this. And I'll just go ahead and just kind of give a summary of what's going on. We know that Elijah has challenged the prophets of Baal. Basically, it's to make known who the true God is, whether it be Baal or whether it be the God of Israel. And that's the whole situation at that point. Excuse me. So, and here's where the cross becomes really central. But the cross isn't central for man's condition once again. The cross is central for the eternal purpose of the Father, which is His Son. And I've always, because it's a mystery. Christ is a mystery. I've thought that the cross has been central for me, to make me something, to improve me, to change my condition. And before, you know, there was the concept of thought, Jesus died so I don't have to die. And then there was the thought, Jesus died and I died with Him and now I have His life. But do you see, the cross has always been central to man in that. But see here, the cross isn't central to man. It's central to God's purpose, His beloved Son in increase. The cross is central to what God has desired, and God has desired His Son in increase. And I saw that here in this passage. And I'll just kind of summarize one, as I was saying. So Elijah has the prophets of Baal, you know, do their sacrifice, and they're doing that and nothing's happening. And they go on doing that for a while, and then he says, well, scream louder. Maybe he's on vacation or something. Maybe he can't hear you. And they're going on with that. There's still no response from their God. Okay, this is verse 30 of 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And we know that that altar is the cross. The cross somehow lost their view. Christ crucified somehow was no longer their view at that time. They lost sight of God's Son, of God's purpose. Okay. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto the unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid on the wood, and he said, fill the barrels with water. So now he has the altar and the sacrifice. All right? Now he's preparing all this. Everything is becoming central with this altar. All right? And the water ran through, in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, here we go. All I'm trying to really stress and show here is that this, when the cross is introduced, it is not introduced as a recovery for man. It is not introduced to change man's state. The cross is central. It's central to the plan of God, to the purpose of God, which is His Son, which has nothing to do with man. Nothing to do with man. Man is not the center of God's affection. Man is not the object of God's affection. It is His Son. It has always been His Son. It will always be His Son. Going on with verse 36, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's just declared the plan of God out from the cross, realized in His Son via His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Lord God of Abraham, type of the Father, Isaac, the beloved Son, and Israel, the beloved Son in increase. He's just declared it. And it's all central to the cross with the altar, Christ crucified with the altar, and the sacrifice, the altar and the bullock. Christ crucified, central. And I hadn't seen this until just recently, that even at that stage, at that point, it had nothing to do with mankind. It was all centered in the Father and the Son. And it continues to be and will always be. But as I stated just earlier when I started, this is once again a mystery. This one is a mystery. This one, this risen Christ, He's a mystery. He's a mystery. And we cannot intellectually learn enough. We cannot intellectually study enough, read enough. This is revealed of the Father, which is a real good thing. It's a miracle of God. Sight is a miracle of God. Even as sight in the Gospels, I'm thinking of John chapter 9, the guy who was born blind, that was a miracle. Jesus performed a miracle, and the guy saw. The same thing at new birth. Except the Lord open our eyes, we are blind. It is also a miracle. Just as new birth is a miracle, having our eyes being opened to see this one is a miracle as well. All right, I'm going to go on a little bit more. And I love the way it says this. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Now, verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. I love that. You have turned their heart. You have turned their heart. I know you're thinking of this verse in the New Testament. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The veil is removed. The veil is removed. Well, is this one veiled? He's not veiled. We were talking about it earlier with Moses. He's not veiled. Where's the veil? The veil is over the heart. The veil is over this man right here. The veil is here. This man, he can't see because he's dead. He doesn't have the capacity for seeing. He doesn't have the capacity for sight. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see. And Nicodemus at that time was not born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This one has no capacity for sight. This one has capacity for sight, but his heart is veiled. Why? Because he doesn't see. But what does he not see? He doesn't see this one. He doesn't see the risen Christ of God. He doesn't see what it's all about, who it's all about. He doesn't see the raised Christ, right? So, I love it the way it says that. And once again, we cannot do this, just as you could not make yourself be born again. It is not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's the will of God, but of God. It is a God thing. Even the same here with that verse 37. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You've done this. Even as Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. When it pleased God, I didn't do this. I couldn't do this. I cannot do this. But when it pleased God to do this, the most we can do is posture our hearts in such a manner that it can turn. That's the most we can do. That's the most we can do. But we are still forever eternally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, upon the Father through the Holy Spirit to reveal this one, to keep us seeing this one. Because right here, thou hast turned their hearts back again, implies that at some point they were seeing God's purpose. They were seeing the Son. And they left that for something else. Their hearts turned from life. Back again. At some point, they had this one in view. At some point, this one was their view. But their hearts turned. They turned from life. Well, when we turn from life, we turn to death. When we turn from life, we turn to darkness. Okay? And then going on. Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Verse 40, and just I'll go over the order again. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. See, we get it all out of order, all out of whack. Oh God, he came, and here's what happened. He took us all to the cross. All this creation, he didn't let one escape, and he destroyed them. For what purpose? And then now we're over here again. No, this, the order was in the previous verses: Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the altar, the cross, central, bringing the plan, the eternal purpose of God to fruition in the cross. The Son, you know, having realized this eternal purpose of the Father. An effect of this, it's only because Christ is risen. It's only because He is the resurrection and that He is indeed raised in power. It's an effect of this, of the Son having realized the purpose and the intent of the Father. An effect of this is that this one comes to death. Is that this one does not escape. I'm not sure how to say it. a result of this one having accomplished the heart and desire of the Father, is that this one, almost like this one gets put away. That's the order. And I saw it here in this passage for the first time because I've had it out of whack. I've saw it because, why? Because man is central to man. Christ is a mystery to man. Christ is a mystery to the natural man. Christ is a mystery to the carnal mind. Because we are so self-centered, so self-focused, and I know Raven shared it, we cannot see beyond ourselves. We cannot see beyond ourselves. You know, so this one is a mystery. He must be revealed to the Father. So I wanted just to start off just showing that, how that even here is declared the order of God. And it's not man-centered, not dependent upon man, though it affects man. Though there is effects towards man, yet it is not man-centered. And that's a good thing, because then you can start thinking and seeing it this way. Well, what are you going to do in this situation, Lord, where I need to be fixed? How are you going to help me? What are you going to do here, Lord? He's not going to do anything different. He can't do anything more. All he will do is just, once again, show this one. This one will appear. And I love this, and I saw it in Mexico. I didn't share it in Mexico. It's the same effect for this one. All right? This one, death needs to come to death. Christ brought this one to death in the cross. Death buried out of sight, and Christ alone was raised. We've covered before, there's no mixture with God. He did not mingle his seed. He did not mix his seed. All right. Now you've got this one who's born again, but has these little issues because his view is still this old creation, this old man, this old thing, this that the Lord has put away. This one is still a mystery. The Lord is not going to do anything different. He's just going to show him this one. He's going to reveal this one, the one who is there, the one who is there. I know I've shared this before. I've said this is like a Jacob understanding. Remember Peniel? And he called the name of the place Peniel. And remember, Jacob, there's Jacob in Israel. And God says to Israel, be fruitful and multiply. He can't say that to Jacob because he doesn't want this understanding increasing. The same way he didn't want this existence to increase. Peniel, for I've seen God face to face and my life is snatched away. All right? My life. I love it. And I like it when it happens like this. My life, and I've used it this way. My life is, in the King James it says preserved. But you can look at it, search it out. It says snatched away as well. Okay, snatched away. There it is. What I thought was my life is snatched away. What remains? Him who truly is my life. Okay, now get this one. I'm going to go ahead and just read it the same way it is in the King James. And he called the name of the place Peniel. For I've seen God face to face, and my life was preserved. My life was preserved. My life was preserved. There was no loss of life. Everything else that was not life was not preserved. Everything else that was not life was taken away. But my life was preserved. Anyway, I wanted to just share that because you can see it both ways. Where it's my life was snatched away. Well, that which I thought was my life was snatched away. And also, my life was preserved. Because this one who's born again, his life is Christ. His life is Christ. He doesn't have another life. See, that's the thing. That's why I said the first way, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is snatched away. That which I thought was my life was snatched away. That which I thought was my life was snatched away. What I thought was my life. That was never my, this was never my life. This was never life. It was death. This one is my life. And you've seen it the other way. For I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. All that was not my life, all that was not Christ, who is our life, was taken away. All right. Okay. I did want to mention that, just showing that, once again, this plan, this purpose, is His risen Son. It is central. He is central. And man is not central to this whatsoever. I do want to go and look at that one passage that we did look at just a second ago, with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. And I said I wanted to look at some things a little bit I guess more in detail, some of these words. And I'll just rattle off some words real quick. Another thing, by default, if we're not seeing this one, He's a mystery. That by default, we will see things. This one who is born again, by default, will see things. Then, people will either declare righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, righteousness by default. If we have not seen this one, then this one, this substance, this risen Christ, is a mystery unto us. Then we will understand righteousness as a thing, and not righteousness as the person of the risen Christ Himself. Peace as a thing, as opposed to peace as the person of the risen Christ Himself, the substance. And the reason why I say this is I want to go ahead and look at this other word, this other paragraph that we just read, this passage. This is 1 Corinthians, once again, 2, 9 through 16. We've already read this. And I just want to show a couple things here. This is verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. And it says, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Well, I'm just going to give a couple of definitions. This is the thing, or the things which, is one word. It's one Greek word. It's Strong's number 3739. And here's how it translates, or here's the definition. Who, which, what, that. It translates into the English as one, that, what, who, whom, whose. I won't define all these, but I'll just read all back to the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But God hath revealed unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. That phrase, all things, is Strong's number 3956. Things, what I'm getting at, if you look at this whole passage, verse 9 through 16, things, where it's mentioned things, is actually not there in the original. You can look at it in either the concordance or the interlinear Greek. Things is not there. Things is not there. Here's some words. This, that, one, he, that. Those are just some words that are more of pronoun, more of like a pronoun. What I'm getting at with this is that, let me read it this way. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, Him whom God hath prepared for them that love Him. Nor entered into the heart of man who God hath prepared for them that love Him. Things is not there. It's who. That God hath prepared for them that love Him. One that God prepared for them that love Him. It's Christ. It's this one right here. But He's a mystery. He's a mystery. Except the Father reveal the Son, then Christ the Son is a mystery to the carnal mind. Going on. But God hath revealed, right? But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, 39:56. The Spirit searcheth the whole. The Spirit searcheth every. The Spirit searcheth all. All of what? All of Christ. The whole of Christ. The measure of Christ. Searches all things. Yea, here's another one, 899. The deep things of God. All things. Yea, the deep things of God. Well, sorry. The mystery of God. It's defined as mystery. It's Strong's number 899. For the Spirit searcheth the whole. Yea, the mystery of God. The Father hath purposed this one. He hath declared this one, declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. This is Him right here. The Spirit searcheth this one. That's what Jesus said. He shall take that which is of mine and shall declare it unto you. He shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. Take of mine, declare it unto you. He searcheth this one. The mystery, not the deep things. He searcheth the mystery. But the mystery is to the natural man, and the mystery is to the carnal man, the carnal understanding, the carnal understanding of that one. To those, it's a mystery, okay? Going on. And it goes, for what man knoweth the things of a man, that's 3588, for what man knoweth this of a man, save the Spirit which is in him? Even so, 3588, the things of God, even so the one of God, even so he of God, even so this of God, knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And all I'm doing, I'm just inserting words straight out of a Strong's definition into here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, 3588, that we might know He, that is graciously given to us, that we might know the one that is graciously given to us, that we might know this that is graciously given to us. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know Him, He, the one, this, that is graciously given to us of God. Remember, this one, mankind, Christ appears, and to him it is the appearing of death unto death. For this man it's death. All now dead, he who hears my voice shall come forth in the resurrection. Now this one receives life. This one has been graciously given of God the Father life. Of God the Father, his beloved Son in increase. Of God the Father, resurrection. This man has received already. When you're born again, you have received the living Christ. You have received all that you will ever have, period. We just don't know what we've received. What has been freely given, what hath been graciously given. He's speaking of his son, because the Father will give no less than his son to us, graciously given to us of God. All right, 37:39. Here's another one. Which things also we speak. Strong's 37:39. Who also we speak. What also we speak. That also we speak. The one also we speak. Whom also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That word, spiritual things, and with spiritual is 41:52. Comparing non-carnal. Comparing non-carnal to non-carnal. See, this one right here, I'll just go ahead and put it there, is a son. Why? He has the understanding of the son. It is not I, but Christ. This one walks, lives, and has this understanding of God. It is not I, but other. It is not I, but Christ. The understanding of the son. This one, the child. This one, of course, is carnal. You see, Paul is saying, comparing non-carnal with non-carnal. The carnal is not having room, is not having sway, is not having place. Going on. But the natural man, right, the one who's not born again, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 35:88, receiveth not he of the Spirit of God, receiveth not this of the Spirit of God, receiveth not the one of the Spirit of God, receiveth not that of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual discerneth all things, is 39:56. Where is it? Judgeth all things, judges the whole. Judgeth all, judgeth every. There's no things here. Judgeth the whole. He discerns the whole. But what's he that is spiritual is discerning what? He's discerning the whole. This one. He's discerning the measure. All right. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And just really to emphasize that and to show that this one is a mystery. He's a mystery to the natural man. We just read it. He is a mystery to the carnal man. So long as he is a mystery, then this one, the natural man, will hear things. So long as he is a mystery, as this risen glorified Christ is a mystery, this carnal understanding, this one with a carnal understanding, will hear things. So if you go and you're at this fellowship, and maybe it's not the fellowship you partake of, and you say righteousness, they hear things. Oh, you mean this and this and this. And maybe you might mean that, but Lord willing, you'll mean Christ. Not a thing, but a substance, a person, a person, a person. But I've heard it also, the filter of the understanding. You know, change your filter. Bad, you know, you have a dirty filter filled with dirt. You know? And see, all that does is it then you begin with this dude, with this guy right here, the one who's born again with a carnal understanding, if this one remains a mystery, if the risen Christ remains a mystery to this carnal natural understanding, because he looks at this man, having not seen the more excellent man, but he does see, he just sees the wrong man. He's blind. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. The same thing, that's exactly what he said. I am come that those who say they see may be made blind, that they may see. Oh, and then the other guy says, yeah, but I see. What about me? Am I blind also? No, you say you see, therefore your sin remains. You're just not looking at, you missed the more excellent man. You're looking at the wrong man. Looking at the wrong man is blindness. Looking at the wrong man is death. I almost lost my track. Where was I? Yeah, the natural reasoning. You can show up and you just say a word. Peace. And instantly, oh yeah, I need to listen to soothing music. You know, let's just get the nice, slow worship music and there's peace. That's a thing. There's no person in that. You just need to calm down, brother, and you'll be peaceful. Just calm down. Just calm down and just nice and quiet. Yeah. That's a false peace. That's a thing. Because Christ is peace. He is peace. But this one's a mystery. This one's a mystery. Therefore, we continue with things. We continue with things until the Father reveals this one, until the Spirit takes that which is mine and declares it unto you. And that's his desire. That's his heart. He's not going to do anything less. As I stated earlier, this has been his purpose. This has been his eternal purpose. His glorified Son in increase before we had a need, before we were even thought of. Now that he's created us, he's not changing anything. He's not changing. His heart doesn't change. He neither, you know, wavers. The Lord doesn't waver like we do. His heart remains the same. Oh, neat. Well, I'm going to present this one, which means the death of this one. I'm going to present this one that this one might have life. And I'm going to show this one that this one might walk in the light. Walk in the life. Walk in the understanding of the life which he's received. Just a thought on the understanding. I'll just read this comment. It is the darkness of our natural eyes, of our natural mind, of our natural reasoning. Natural reasoning that says, I understand this and this to be so, so then this. And that's just an example. Excuse me. Because the carnal, natural mind reasons, okay, this is a black marker because it's got the black cap on it. If this is a marker and this is a black cap, then it's a black marker. That's natural reasoning. Natural reasoning goes great in the world. Natural reasoning functions great in this man's world, in this age. Natural reasoning, that's all there is here. That's all there is here, natural reasoning. And because this one still has that understanding, then this one functions by the natural reasoning, whether he wants to or not, by default, until the mystery appears, until Christ appears, until Christ is revealed. All right, now I've got an example of this that I thought was really great. Once again, as I showed with the marker, the natural reasoning. This is a marker. It has a black tip. Reason says it's a black marker. It is. You know, that's natural reasoning. You conclude. You have a conclusion based on certain things you know about something. All right, here's another one. Here's another example of natural reasoning. 1 + 1 = 2. Right? That's pretty much on the core of mathematics. 1 + 1 = 2. We learn that. We know that. And on the basis of things like that, we learn all the other difficult stuff. But here is something that is beyond natural reasoning. This is in the economy of God. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. But we just learned that 1 + 1 = 2. See? It's an altogether different, other, nothing alike, not even example wise, comes so far below God, the Lord. I and my Father are one. If we don't understand that, if we can't catch that, then how do we think that we are going to learn this one based on natural reasoning? How do we think that we are going to learn to know this one, except this one, who is a mystery to that natural carnal mind, be revealed to the Father? It is only by the Father through the Spirit. I like saying it this way. We're all in the same boat. We are all dependent upon the Father via the Holy Spirit to reveal His indwelling Christ. And I know that in different fellowships they measure one, compare one with another. If you're going to compare yourself with somebody, compare yourself to the measure himself, and you'll see how short you fall. Because all believers, regardless of their stature, regardless of what they know, regardless of, they are all dependent upon the Father through the Holy Spirit revealing the Son. Now see, the thing is, where you find the differences among believers is how much has this Son been revealed to the believer. That's where you can see, so-and-so, they have a greater seeing of Christ than I do. They have a greater understanding of Christ than I do. But so-and-so is still in the same boat as me. I can't do anything just as they can't do anything. It is of the Father. And that's where we should link up arm in arm, you know, and say, hey, we are all in need of this one being revealed. And just like I read earlier with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, we are all in need of our hearts to continue and remain here, to turn to see the Lord. We are all in need. If we have the life, if the light is in us, let us walk in the light as He's in the light. If we are born again, we have all need of knowing the life we have received. We are all in the same boat. So I just wanted to mention that. Let's go on. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Right? Carnally minded, death. You're going backwards. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is Antichrist. It's enmity. It's not, you know, the whole deal. 1 + 1 = 2. And God's mind is like, no. Enmity against God, this understanding, is against God. Why? Because this understanding is based on this man. Based on the natural man. And then, I read it here recently, I think out of a Sparks book, that he was using Paul as an example, and he said, well, I thought I was wholly serving God by persecuting the church. I thought I was doing God's service. I thought I was pleasing the Lord by persecuting the church, by persecuting His body. I thought this natural mind, this carnal mind, based on this natural mind, I thought I was pleasing God. Enmity. Complete enmity. Okay. Let me see where I am. Okay. I want to go ahead and read another passage. Excuse me. This is declaring the same. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, this is concerning the mystery. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, I love this, which in, and ages is plural in the King James, but if you look it up, it's Strong's number 1074, it is singular, which in other, remember, not just a different, but altogether completely other, which in this other age was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. How can something be revealed except it be there? How can this one have Christ revealed in him if Christ is not in him? You must be born again. When you're born again, then Christ can be revealed. The indwelling Christ. He has to be dwelling within that he be revealed. Okay? By the Spirit. Now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And lest you think this is only for the holy apostles and prophets, I'm going to read another verse after this. This is continuing on with verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, and I didn't look that word up, unsearchable, riches of Christ. I think Rabin covered this one session. Unsearchable. Unsearchable to who? Unsearchable to this man. He can't search it out. Unsearchable to this one with a carnal mind that has the understanding of this man. Unsearchable to him as well. We cannot attain to that. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And once again, it's the fellowship of the Father and the Son. What is the fellowship of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Mystery. Hidden God. Who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. All this mystery, the whole thing, is according to his eternal purpose. I love the way it says it right here, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He just spells it out pretty clear. Okay, now for those who think or have an understanding, well, this is great, but this is probably not for me. I'm born again, but I'm not one of the select few. Well, this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29. Paul again speaking. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from the age and from generation, but is now made manifest to his saints. Made manifest to his saints. To his saints. Not who's a saint, one who's born again. Doesn't matter what they act like. If you have life, if Christ is dwelling within, you're a saint. You just don't know your life. That's it. You just don't know your life. Your life is still yet a mystery and must be revealed to the Father. But now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Perfect where? Here. Why? This is my life. He is my life. Not so much that I am here. No. He is my life. Therefore, I am where my life is. Kind of get it? Make sense? I have a risen life because him who is my life is raised. Jimmy did not get raised. But I have a risen life because him who is my life is raised, is risen. Therefore, I can say my life is risen with the understanding of who my life is. Christ being my life is risen. The God of the living. All right. Good verse. Let's see, going on a little bit more. One of the last times I shared, I basically called this invitation to man being the high calling of God, the above invitation of God. This is where man is granted of God, graciously granted to be a part of what he hath purposed, to be a part of what his Son hath accomplished. All right, now I'll just touch a couple of things on the notes. How are we doing with time? Hour and eight? Well, I guess I won't touch a couple of things on the notes. I'll just wrap some stuff up here. But this is just what's been more on my heart more and more. That I've seen of the Lord is that it all, we say it, we know it, it all revolves around Jesus. It all revolves around Christ. But we are so self-focused, we are so self-absorbed. I mean, that we bypass everything, and then God still has to do something for me. God still has to help me out. God still has to fix my situation. God still has to change me, though the change has come already. God's not going to change everything, anything with any believer. He's just going to reveal the change. The change is not I, but Christ. That's the change. That's the change. You don't have to change. You have to see the change. He's the life. He's the change. He's not going to make you better or new, a new me, a new you. He's going to show you him who is new. That's all it is. And once again, as I've stated, this one, this risen Christ, this glorified Son of God, is a mystery. I do want to read this one verse right before I close. It's in Romans, I think. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. And I'm just wrapping it up, summarizing it again. Concerning his Son. Okay, we have God the Father. Now, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, Jesus of Nazareth, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is him who is raised. This is him who is a mystery to the natural man and to the carnal understanding. This is him. This is the whom it is all about. And the prayers of Paul for the saints, that we might know this one, the Spirit, that God would grant us grant, there's the word again, graciously give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If we do not see this one, if this one is not revealed, then we don't know Him. To see is to know. If we see this one, we know Him. If we see this one, we know Him. Lest we see a thing and we understand a thing, a concept, like righteousness. Yes, I know righteousness, but have you seen righteousness? To see is to know. And so may the Lord just, I mean, continually, as I was reading with Elijah and the prophets of Baal and dealing with Israel at that time, may the Lord continually turn our hearts, that they may know that You have turned their hearts unto You again. That they may know that You have turned their hearts unto You again. And knowing that the cross is central to this eternal purpose of God, not even dealing with mankind. The cross is central to this. And we only benefit as a result of it. Amen.